Welcome back to the Darting Through the Faith podcast. I'm Father Sean Wilson. With me is Julia Monin, and this podcast is sponsored by Black Coffee. So it is truly the wonderment of this podcast and the one that keeps bills paid and energy flowing.
It's the wind beneath my wings.
It is the wind beneath my wings. Well said.
Well, and it's a confirmation pun too. That was totally unintentional.
Wow.
But, you know.
That's good.
The wind beneath
you are on the puns today.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unknowingly. So, yeah.
It's just natural.
Yeah.
Or is it supernatural?
Ooh.
Yeah. The seventh gift of the Holy Spirit. Or the eighth gift of the Holy Spirit. Sorry. There are seven.
Puns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to write a paper about that and submit it to the Vatican.
Good luck with that.
Thank you.
Right.
I'm going to need it.
Let me know if you need a proofreader. I had to give a presentation last night to, it was actually a group of employees. So they asked me to come and give a little 30 minutes to this group of employees. And it was at a tool store. And it went fine. It went well. But you know I'm making a tool joke. A tool pun if I'm giving a talk in a tool store, right?
Yeah.
Well, it totally... What did they call that? Like, came up flat?
Yeah.
Oh, like nothing. Crickets.
Nice.
In the room. So much so that I finished the pun. Like, this was a whole thing. So then I could finish the pun about the tool, and then no one's laughing.
Sure.
But I wasn't embarrassed. I just said, that was funny. You guys should be laughing right now. To which they all laughed.
Right. Yes. That
is. It was a forced pity laugh, I was told. But that's accurate what it was. But, you know, it broke the ice, and we moved on fine from there.
Yeah, that is good. You know, you've probably seen this. I've done that in homilies before, like especially the Saturday Vigil, right? You throw something out there and it's like, it's just not biting. You're like, oh, I thought that would be funny.
Right.
And then people laugh.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. After the fact.
I knew I'd get you.
Right. That's exactly what it was.
Like, yeah.
This will just be like a tool in your tool bag. Not laughing. Let me explain it more. So then I did. That was funny, you guys. You're not laughing. Then they laughed. We're friends now. We're all friends now. So it's good.
Yeah.
They asked me if I needed a podium before I got started. By the way, shout out if any of you guys are listening. It was wonderful. Do you need a podium? I have this makeshift one for you. And it was like a cart that like didn't have like the actual cart, you know, something that you would put like lumber on or something. And then they like attached like a clipboard to the top so I could put, it was like a makeshift podium. And
wow.
I'm like, I don't know if I need a podium, but I'm never getting another opportunity to use a podium like this.
Yeah.
So I want to use this podium. So yes, wheel that on out there.
That's awesome.
I'm putting papers on it.
Right.
Right. It was great.
That's cool.
It was great. It was great. So much fun. Okay.
Wonderful.
But anyway, by the time this episode is released.
Happy Easter.
It's Easter.
Yeah.
The Friday after, we're in the octave of Easter.
We are in the octave.
I don't want to talk too much about it because truth be told, I live very liturgically. And we're recording this. It's still Easter. It's not Easter Monday. It's still Monday of Holy Week.
Right.
So I can't get there yet.
Okay.
I can't get there yet.
We're gonna
if you
want
to talk about it,
have
you
to
can.
Act a little bit. Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. What do you want to act about?
Well, I don't know. Kind of the wind beneath my wings has been taken.
It has.
That's all right. All right. Well, I know we're looking forward to Easter, right?
I am.
We're not gonna get there beforehand, but you know, we keep one eye focused on that resurrection of our Lord.
Yes. Yes. We have to do that. But also, we can't have the resurrection without the cross. So
that's true.
We got to go to the cross first. So anyway, but by the time people are listening to this, it is Easter.
Yeah. And they're probably like, what, you think dozen milkshakes deep by now?
At least. Are you a dozen milkshakes
deep? I don't know. Probably not by then. But yeah. I might have one or two, plus some donuts.
Fun fact, listeners. Let me talk to the listeners for just a second, if you don't
mind. Okay. Earmuffs?
No, you can keep your earmuffs on. You can know. Father Sean just told us in between recordings that this was at like your internship parish.
Yep.
And you had at your internship parish in the rectory where you lived, like one of those milkshake makers, like they actually have in milkshake stores, like with the silver cup and the thing that goes to make milkshakes, like in your home.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah, the priest's dad owned a pharmacy that was like 1950s, and in that pharmacy they had like a root beer stand.
Mm-hmm.
So it was when they closed down shop and they sold off the stuff, he kept that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a classic, you know, it's like vintage. I'm sure it's worth a lot of money, but it's worth more in its ability to make stuff. Milkshakes.
And fluffy scrambled eggs.
The fluffiest scrambled eggs you ever done had.
Wow.
Yeah.
What was your favorite flavor milkshake that you had in there?
I think I probably only used it for milkshakes once. I used it for eggs every Saturday.
Okay. Okay. Saturday was egg day.
Saturday was egg day. Yeah. But you know, there was just a little bit more time on Saturday mornings.
Right. We all get that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Cool.
All right, we're talking about confirmation today. Have we prayed? We haven't prayed. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Lord, fill us with the light of the Holy Spirit. May this Holy Spirit, which you breathed upon the apostles, fill us, guide us, and animate all that we do. Pray for all of those who have received the Holy Spirit through the sacrament of confirmation this spring. Ask that you may enliven them and always guide them. Trust this podcast into your hands. We pray for all of our listeners that they may have a joyful Easter. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We are on paragraphs 1285 through 1301. 1285 through 1301. Confirmation, the history, and the rite. R-I-T-E. Mm-hmm. History and the rite of confirmation. This is divided into four different parts. Confirmation in the economy of salvation, the two traditions of the East and the West, the signs and the rite of confirmation, and then the celebration of confirmation. That's where this ends. Okay. So again, like just last week's, there was a lot of paragraphs in this.
Yep.
Definitely don't have time to go through it paragraph by paragraph again.
Shucks, man.
Yeah, I know. In double recording, we had double the homework and they were double long. Did you feel that this week?
I had a lot of fun. I'm not going to lie. I enjoyed all of these.
Okay.
And was like, oh, there's gold in this here catechism.
Yeah, right.
So.
Okay.
So we're in confirmation. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's the second part of the catechism, all about the sacraments. And this is the beginning of the part on confirmation. Mm-hmm. So we recently did about the effects of the sacrament of confirmation and like who can receive it. So this is the other half.
Sure.
Is in the economy of salvation. So that's like in salvation history. Mm-hmm. And then about the ritual of confirmation, basically, and how it developed. So, but it starts with kind of a general introduction. And it says, it must be explained to the faithful that the reception of the sacrament of confirmation is necessary for the completion of baptismal grace. Consider yourself explained to. Mm-hmm. This completes baptism, right? Baptism is almost left dangling until it's completed. It's sealed with the sacrament of confirmation.
Mm-hmm.
So if you haven't been confirmed or you know somebody who hasn't been confirmed, right? Whatever, family kind of fell away from the faith when that was the time period in their life, or family let them choose not to be confirmed. Hey, this is important stuff, mm-hmm. right? You're going to want what the Lord's given in this sacrament.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Baptism, the Eucharist, and the sacrament of confirmation together constitute the sacraments of initiation.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. So this section on confirmation in the economy is paragraphs 1286 through 1289. So first we get that the prophets are announcing this, that the Spirit of the Lord is going to rest on the hoped for Messiah. Of course, we know about the descent of the Holy Spirit on Jesus at his baptism. We know that at the Annunciation, he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. His whole life and his whole mission are carried out in total communion with the Holy Spirit, whom the Father gives him without measure.
Yeah. You think about that in his first trip into the synagogue, where he takes the portion of the prophet scroll of the prophet Isaiah and says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." He's to give good news to preach good news.
That's right. And then he rolled that scroll and he got
out.
Then
he rolled the scroll and he got out because they were going to hate on him.
That's right. They were.
That's right. So then it was not uniquely his, right? Because what was communicated was to the whole messianic people. And so Christ promises the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, especially in the Last Supper discourse in John's gospel, as he's basically telling the apostles what's going to happen. He says, "Hey, you will receive another advocate. It's good for you that I go." Mm-hmm. So our Lord prepares them for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And then at Easter Sunday, right, he comes, and this is going to be the gospel this upcoming Sunday on Divine Mercy Sunday, breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven. Whose sins you hold bound are bound."
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, that's poured out on them in an even more striking way, the Catechism says, at Pentecost.
Right. From that time on, the apostles, in fulfillment of Christ's will, imparted to the newly baptized by the laying on of hands the gift of the Spirit that completes the grace of baptism. This imposition of hands is rightly recognized by the Catholic tradition as the origin of the sacrament of confirmation, which in a certain way perpetuates the grace of Pentecost in the church.
Perpetuates the grace of Pentecost. So look at all the graces that happen at Pentecost and what happens in the life of the apostles. Confirmation makes that last in perpetuity, right? The grace of that sacrament. It's remarkable. But all of this is like discussing how this sacrament was instituted by Christ, right? One of those hallmarks of the sacraments, they're all instituted by Christ. And so this is how confirmation was, and it was continued in the church.
So then, yeah, the laying of the hands, the anointing with perfumed oil was added to the laying of the hands. This anointing highlights the name Christian, which means anointed, and derives from that of Christ himself, whom God anointed with the Holy Spirit, right?
Then we got three paragraphs about the differences between the East and the West. Mm-hmm. So this is not like the difference between New York City and Los Angeles, right? East and West. This is the Western Catholic Church, so like the Roman Catholic Church, and the Eastern Catholic Church. So like in Ukraine, in maybe Syria, and all of those. So there's different traditions kind of came in the sacrament, in the practice of the sacrament of confirmation. Not the belief, not the understanding of what it was, but how it gets lived. So originally, the bishop would baptize all of the children, right? The bishop would baptize all of the children, and he would confirm them, just do that all at one time. As the church grows in number, and there's more rural parishes and all of that, it becomes impossible for the bishop to baptize everybody. So priests have to begin baptizing. So the difference comes in when confirmation and how confirmation was given. In the East, they said, well, baptism and confirmation go together. There's a unity. So the priest will baptize, will confirm the child after he baptizes. In the West, they want to keep, we, you know, that's where we are, want to keep the link between the bishop as the steward of the sacrament of confirmation. And so we will delay confirmation until the bishop comes. And so that's where these two different traditions flow out of. Mm-hmm. Basically, the answer to the same problem. Mm-hmm. The bishop can't confirm everybody at baptism. So what do we do? Mm-hmm. The East says the priest will confirm, and the West says, well, we'll delay confirmation until the bishop comes. Mm-hmm. So that's where that comes from. Mm-hmm.
And then we've talked about this. I know we did when we were talking about confirmation a few episodes ago, but that situation where like the bishop isn't there to confirm, but the person that is given that authority to do that is coming from the bishop,
right?
And also you're using the oils that were consecrated by the bishop at the chrism mass,
exactly, right?
And so there's the link between anything else with that, with the traditions of that?
I don't think so.
And then 1293 through 1296 are the signs and the rite of confirmation. So in treating of the rite of confirmation, it's fitting to consider the sign of anointing and what it signifies and imprints, a spiritual seal. So it talks about anointing with oil has all these meanings in the sacramental life as what we would even see in our secular lives, right?
And even more particularly the time of Jesus. Right?
Sure.
You know, true. Like the anointing of oil is more used in the time of Jesus. Although there's great analogies, you just kind of got to do a couple like translations maybe.
Sure.
So
oil, a sign of abundance and joy, cleanses, anointings were done before and after a bath. It limbers, the anointing of athletes and wrestlers. Oil is a sign of healing since it is soothing to bruises and wounds. It makes radiant with beauty, health, and strength. So
right? And you think of like ointments would be different things for that, right? You think anointing like a child's skin after a bath, if their skin's getting dried out, right? You anoint it. That's that sign of birth, or even limbering something up. Think of Ben Gay, right? Mm-hmm. Ben Gay is used when muscles get tight and it kind of loosens up muscles, but even a sign of healing. You think about maybe an ointment that you put in a wound after to cleanse it, to make sure to help the skin to heal, the flesh to heal. So there's all sorts of things like that.
So again, yeah, this anointing has all these meanings in the sacramental life as well. By confirmation, Christians, that is, those who are anointed, share more completely in the mission of Jesus Christ and the fullness of the Holy Spirit with which he is filled, so that their lives may give off the aroma of Christ.
Mm, that's why it's scented. Mm. Lives to smell beautiful with the ointment of Christ, mm-hmm. the anointing. But I think particularly the sacrament of confirmation, the anointing, is parallel to the limbering, right? The anointing for athletes and wrestlers, because that's where we become a soldier for Christ, right? We're ready for action in the sacrament of confirmation. And so the ointment prepares us for action, to loosen up our spiritual muscles so that we can go and do the task at hand. Mm-hmm. So I think that's just a great analogy.
It
right?
is, right.
It's the spiritual Bengay.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah.
Well
yeah. Played. Yeah. I'm going to tell the Archbishop about that in case he ever wants to use it in a confirmation homily, you know, especially as he approaches 75, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know if Bengay is more of a reality for him or not.
Right. Well, you never know.
Never know. You know, you never know.
Right. I'm going to go ahead and keep this conversation moving.
Yeah, we got to pivot. We can't dwell there.
By this anointing, the confirmand receives the mark, the seal of the Holy Spirit. Again, so think of like an envelope being sealed.
Right.
And not only that, but soldiers being marked with like their leader's seal, right? Like branded. In
branded.
A sense.
Yeah, you think about like you brand cattle to say mm-hmm. who it belongs to mm-hmm. and what number it is. Mm-hmm. And that's permanent. It's mm-hmm. indelible. Mm-hmm. So it's the seal that we belong to Christ. But it also, in some ways, like it completes baptismal grace. Like you don't put a wax seal on an envelope until you're done mm-hmm. with the envelope, right? Like mm-hmm. everything's ready to go. Mm-hmm. So it like completes the grace of baptism,
right?
And it shows you who it belongs to. Mm-hmm. Do you seal envelopes with wax seals? Have you ever?
I don't. Yeah. But we've talked about Father McCullough having a sweet wax seal, mm-hmm. and ever since we've talked about that, I've definitely wanted one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, So I had to speak to our confirmandi like about a week beforehand. I was like, mm-hmm. this is what we're going to do, a little demonstration.
Sure.
So I bought some wax. I got a seal and I found a seal of a dove, mm-hmm. which is like, that's perfect, right, mm-hmm. for the seal. The wax, though, was, I don't know if I got like, it was envelope like sealing wax, mm-hmm. but it just did not, it was not quality. I might have just gotten the cheapest. I did get the cheapest stuff. And that's when the kids thought it was hilarious, mm-hmm. though, because like it wasn't pouring. When it melted, it was just real stringy. Mm-hmm. It's like that. It's supposed to drip on there, you know, mm-hmm. so you can get a little puddle and then you can
mm-hmm. stamp that.
Kapunk.
Seal it.
So let's move on.
Better luck next time, maybe?
I hope so.
Buy better.
I hope so.
Like
yeah.
don't cut corners when it goes to buying wax for sealing letters. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think that is
don't
what
cut
I'm
corners.
Saying.
It's
yeah.
worth the extra investment. Mm-hmm. Okay, good to know.
I ended up just giving the wax to all the kids. So I was kind of thinking, I had like 12 sticks of envelope sure. wax. So I'm like curious, like what happened with the wax? That.
I'm very curious by that too. What happened with the wax? What were the parents thinking when the kids come home with wax?
How much do they have to dig out of carpet?
You know?
Oh, wax is a mess.
Well, you didn't give it to like 10-year-olds, right?
They were sophomores in high school.
Well, okay, yeah. Who knows what happened with the wax? Who knows? Okay. So this seal of the Holy Spirit marks our total belonging to Christ, our enrollment in his service forever, as well as the promise of divine protection in the great
eschatological. You were close.
Trial.
So close.
I was so confident I was going to say it, and I didn't. But shucks. That's okay. So, but can you just enlighten us on like what does that mean? That you say it again.
Eschatological.
What is
the
that?
End?
The end times.
So So basically, the trials that we have to do in the battle for mm-hmm. good and evil—that mm-hmm. is, that we're living out right now. Right. This is all a foretaste of the end. Mm-hmm. Right. So.
Yeah. Then the last one, yeah.
The celebration, which begins with the Chrism Mass,
yes.
with the consecration of the oil,
yeah.
which I'm trying to think at what point the Chrism is consecrated. I should know this.
During the Chrism Mass?
Yeah. I'm going to find out soon.
Yeah.
But I believe the Chrism is consecrated like in the middle of the Eucharistic prayer. So like from the graces of the Eucharist flow the power of the grace into this chrism. And the bishop at the chrism, like he consecrates it, he doesn't bless it, right? The sick and the catechumens he blesses, but the sacred chrism he consecrates. And I believe he breathes on it, right? Mm. Just as Christ breathed out the Holy Spirit on the apostles, the bishop breathes onto this. Yeah.
Wow.
It's great. Yeah.
So again, like just to mention that we're recording this on the Monday of Holy Week. So the Chrism Mass is tomorrow.
In the Archdiocese of Cincinnati. Yeah. Yeah, it's Tuesday.
Right. Okay. Is that like a public Mass?
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Anybody wants to go? Mm-hmm. You'll have to time travel to get there.
Yeah. For 2023, you will.
Yeah.
Right. But in our archdiocese, it's typically the Tuesday of Holy Week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Other, you know, traditionally it was Holy Thursday morning.
Okay.
Right. But just for travel purposes and like priests getting there, being at the Chrism Mass, we all renew our priestly promises at the Chrism Mass. So that's one of the other highlights. So it's just not the most convenient thing when we're scattered
a
couple hundred miles from each other. So
again, the celebration of the confirmation, it begins here with this consecration of the sacred chrism. And then during the confirmation, the confirmands renew their baptismal promises and the profession of faith. So you'll see that as well.
Mm-hmm. So that shows the connection between baptism and confirmation.
Mm-hmm. In the Roman Rite, the bishop extends his hands over the whole group of the confirmands. Since the time of the apostles, this gesture has signified the gift of the Holy Spirit, right? So there's another...
Right. Imposition of the hands. You don't do it individually on each person like you would at confirmation or at ordination. Mm-hmm. It's just over the group in one fell swoop.
And then the essential rite of the sacrament follows. In the Latin rite, the sacrament of confirmation is conferred through the anointing with chrism on the forehead, which is done by the laying on of the hand, and through the words, "Be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit."
And normally the bishop will use the confirmation name there, right? So Thomas, be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Yep.
Right. Okay.
So you get that new name.
Mm-hmm. And then it ends with the sign of peace that concludes the rite of the sacrament, signifies and demonstrates ecclesial communion with the bishop and with all the faithful. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You know, I've done a handful of confirmations
now.
There's a whole lot of like, it's amazing the things you notice when you just get to do a lot of confirmations. One is how nervous people get, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, sometimes just want to give some of these young people a hug because they get so nervous. Like some of the sweatiest handshakes in my life, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah. You know? Right. 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 Yeah. You've been nervous before. It's all good.
Yeah. But my hands don't sweat. My pits do.
Thank you for confirming that.
Yeah, confirming.
Oh, I did that on purpose.
She's on fire.
I did that on purpose. Yep. Oh,
that
she's
was
on fire.
That was on purpose.
What? Yeah. What? Listen, you got to know a good thing when you have it, and you got to know when to stop, you know? Because it's not getting better from here.
I don't know when to stop, though.
So I think we got to wrap this up. Because these were good things to end on those notes.
Okay.
I don't want to mess it up.
All right.
That's an important lesson I've had to learn. It's as important to know when to stop talking as it is to know what to say. And I'm going to go ahead and put that into play right now.
There's a lot of times when it's good to know when to stop, right? You think about like food, right? It's good to know when to stop.
Yeah.
You think about, you know, even friends, right? You could be up all night celebrating the resurrection of our Lord.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to know when to actually go to bed.
Mm-hmm. That's some great wisdom.
Yeah.
And it proves my point that we should have stopped before you gave it to us. So thank you for that.
Well played. Ah. Hey, anybody want to get that knife out of my back?
It's a dart, actually.
It's a dart. You want a dart in your back?
No.
Just kidding.
Oh, you may have to throw it this time. Where are we going?
Where you want to go?
Let's see. We'll be in the second week of Easter by the time this next one. So hope he's aiming for something.
I think I got nothing there. Got the prayer at the hour of Jesus. Let's just close our eyes and go for it.
Nope.
Sorry. I'm going to have to do more than close my eyes, I think.
It's getting down.
Did I just split the wood?
It did split the wood. Wow. You split the wood on the frame.
I love wood splitting.
Oh, with the dart.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to be here all day.
This is getting harder and harder. Yeah, it wasn't that long ago where he'd throw that dart at Lance and we'd be like, oh, it's amazing stuff. But it's getting more difficult.
Can we edit out all my guttural grunts?
Oh, but this is my favorite part. You know, one time I had a listener come up to me and said, my favorite part is when you make fun of him when he doesn't hit something with the dart. And I said, you know what? My favorite part is to make fun of him too.
Him alone shall you serve. 2095 to 2109. You shall not have false gods, huh?
Sounds great.
Yeah. Okay. Getting these Ten Commandments.
I have just sweet scripture to end with. Like, all scripture is sweet. But I'm, like, reading this. I'm like, oh, this is so good. So this is from Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, verses 9 through 25. So this is Simon the Magician believes. So this conversion of Simon the Magician. Okay. But there was a man named Simon who had previously practiced magic in the city and amazed the people of Samaria, saying that he himself was somebody great. They all paid attention to him from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the power of God that is called great." And they paid attention to him because for a long time he had amazed them with his magic. But when they believed Philip, as he preached good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Even Simon himself believed, and after being baptized, he continued with Philip. And seeing signs and great miracles performed, he was amazed. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, when Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, so that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness of yours, and pray to the Lord that, if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." And Simon answered, "Pray for me to the Lord, that nothing of what you have said may come upon me." Now, when they had testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans.